Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you today to Long Memorial United Methodist Church. If you're a visitor with us today, if you'd like, please fill out the little slip of paper that's attached to your bulletin and put it in the offering plate. If you have any prayers today, you can also do that and write that on there as well. And we welcome you. We just have a few announcements this morning. Our pastor is away this weekend, supposedly, trip to walk to Emmaus, which actually, if you've ever done it, I've heard is a wonderful, wonderful spiritual experience. But unfortunately, he was rained out. So he's here today, and glad to see you. Also, announcements for today. We're having a luncheon right after worship. It is a hot dog luncheon sponsored by the Nurture Committee, and they're also going to have a display of the Chrismons that they've been working on this whole entire year and looking toward the Christmas season. So if you have a chance after worship today to go have some lunch and fellowship time and see the beautiful Chrismons that they've been working on. Also, we're having a church meeting next Sunday after worship, about 12:30, and this meeting will be brief, and it's to set the pastor's salary for next year ahead of our charge conference, I believe. And we're having Wednesday night communion services now for the next few weeks, I believe, until further notice. So come and join in that time of worship as well. There are a couple of other announcements that Chuck has.
Evening at 6:30 is night in New York. If you have not made your reservation, please do. There's a little yellow sheet here. Sign it, put it in the offering plate. If you forget to do that, and don't wait and do this, call Peggy at the church because you'll forget. So go ahead and do it this way. It's absolutely a blast every year. One of the treats, at least I think it's a treat, is I've got a young man named Andrew Bonamolo who's coming over. And Andrew won the National Association of Teachers of Singing National Competition in Chicago this summer in musical theater.
Great.
And he's going to be singing awesome. For it. He's got a couple other ringers that I'm bringing in, but they're all ringers when they come from this choir. You just wouldn't believe how good they are. So don't miss it. Don't miss it. Invite your friends. The Presbyterians do it. They invite their friends, and some of us go over there. We better invite those Presbyterians. Tell them, get on over here. The other thing is this. Take out your hymnal, if you would, and turn to 327. 327. Okay, I'm trying to charge you up because you've got a
327.
Job. 327. You know this song. Crown him with many crowns. Anybody not heard that song? Just wonder if there's any Episcopalians. No. We're going to sing, as part of the anthem, two of these verses. And you're going to know when to sing the first verse and when to sing the second verse, because I'm going to turn towards you and we're going to sing. Is that all right? Y'all ready? I want boisterous singing, loud and strong and exciting. Okay, everybody ready to do that?
Yeah.
And Ashley has an announcement.
Good morning. You may or may not be aware that the United Methodist Committee on Relief, otherwise known as UMCOR, has service opportunities, one of which is to prepare or assemble certain types of kits that they pass out and send to different areas. could be during disaster relief. It could be to just areas of need because of political unrest or whatever the case may be. This past week, students from Roxburgh Community School came to Long Memorial and assembled 100 health kits that we are going to send off, hopefully to so that they can be given to whoever might be in need. And it was really relevant this past week as we saw so much devastation in so many places from Hurricane Matthew. I wanted to let you know that I wanted to thank those of you that supported this mission, and I also wanted to let you know there are still opportunities to help. We have to place $1 in each kit because that's going to go to pay for toothpaste. And if you think about basic necessities, the items in this kit are basic necessities, washcloths, combs, you know, things that we just kind of take for granted that these people don't have. So we are going to need $1 for each one of those kits, and we also have to ship the kits. And if you feel so led and would like to support that project, please see me. Thanks.
Thank you, Ashley. Are there any other announcements? Well, then let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Once again, good morning. It's good to see you all. Another Sunday, another time to get together and worship our God. So let us stand for worship. What troubled times in which we live. Our trust is in our God. The world is a mess. People are at odds, turning against one another, killing and hating each other. Our trust is in Jesus Christ. We fear for our families, our nation, and our planet. Our trust is in the Holy Spirit and the Most High. Our obedience and trust will see us through. Amen. And now let's pray. Show us, Lord, how to truly trust you. Show us, Lord, how to be truly grateful for all you have done for us. Show us, Lord, how to obey your word without question. Show us, Lord, how to believe again. Show us, Lord, how to trust you once again. Amen. And now we will have a hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 140. How often do we think about that when we open our eyes? The mercies of God being lavished upon us as the sun rises and the new day has begun. That speaks to me. Well, our Old Testament reading will come from Psalm chapter 66, verse 1 through 12. Psalm chapter 66, verse 1 to 12. And the Psalms are a compilation of a lot of genres mixed together. Mostly we see writings from David, but these Psalms are a lot more than just the writings of David. They're prayers, laments, declarations about God, and also illustrations of what true Christian character is. When we come together and we read these Psalms, oftentimes we look at them as individualized, but when we come together and worship, let us think about this corporately, as a community of faith. So Psalm 66, it reads, "Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worship you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoice in him, who rules by his mighty might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now we will have an anthem. Crown him with many crowns.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm so happy to see all of you this morning. Hi. Yes.
Mommy's birthday is today.
It is. Happy birthday, Mommy.
And we're going to get cupcakes when we leave.
Yum. Cupcakes? That's going to be a nice, wonderful birthday. And guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about being thankful and our blessings. And isn't that a blessing? Yes. Hey, Matthew. So each day we're surrounded by our blessings, right? And so I want you all to think this morning. I want you to think about things that you can give thanks for. Does anybody have any ideas? Yes?
Halloween.
You're thankful for Halloween. That's fun when you can dress up in your costumes, right? What did you have for breakfast this morning? What did you have for breakfast, Layla? Cheerios and chocolate milk to drink. That's a blessing, isn't it? So thankful for Cheerios and chocolate milk. What else? What else would you have, Cece? Blueberry waffles. What a blessing.
What?
Eggs and Pop-Tarts? Yummy. I'm so thankful for eggs and Pop-Tarts. You too? That's a great thing. What about, do you wash your hands with nice warm water and nice soap that smells really good? Do you do that? Well, should we give thanks for nice warm water and soap? And baths? Nice warm baths? What about, do you read books? Do you read? Yes. Sometimes you look at the art in the book and you see the beautiful pictures. Well, that's because you read like chapter books, aren't you? But there's a beautiful when you pull out a picture book and you look at all the pictures and the art and you can smell the book and it just smells good and it just feels good. And we can give thanks for all those things. And what about outside? Do you notice the green grass and the sunshine and flowers? Do what? It was raining, but we can give thanks for rain. Yeah, this was just a lot of rain. Sunflowers are beautiful. And the, yeah, yeah. And what about the birds? What about the birds? Do you ever hear the birds sing and the lovely music that the birds give? Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus teaches us an important lesson about giving thanks. And after our scripture lesson today, he talks about healing some people. And after he healed 10 people who were really, really ill, so he healed 10 of them. And you know what? Only one of them came back to say, thank you, Jesus. The other 9 didn't even say anything. Only one came back and said, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus asked, weren't the 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? He said to the person who had thanked him, your faith has healed you. Being thankful, boys and girls, helps us to be happy and healthy. And I have brought something with me today. And I wrote on the front, it says, a journal of thanks. So I want you to put this on your bedside table, okay? You see this, guys? Because you're going to have to get Mommy and Daddy to help you. And every night before you go to bed and you're saying your prayers, I want you to write down something that you're thankful for. A blessing, something that throughout the day that has happened, like whether you can see and smell or heard or tasted, just something that just brought you pleasure and you want to say, thank you, God. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful blessing. Do you think you can do that?
Yeah.
And then when you fill up this book, you know what? I want you to come and share it with me because I would love to share with everybody some of the things that you're thankful for and counting your blessings, right? Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for these beautiful children and this wonderful church. We thank you, God, for the sunshine. Help us, Lord, to always remember to give thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So get your journal of thanks books. You're still into green.
No, but now my favorite color is blue.
Blue.
Do you got any yellow?
No.
Blue, please.
Okay.
Red, blue.
There you go.
I want
a blue pen.
Hold on a second.
It's a notebook.
Yes. Here, Matthew, I don't have, I got this blue one, but I didn't write on it. You want green?
Yeah.
Okay.
To the person whose birthday it is, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Okay, I'm done. To everyone else, whoever birthday it is, happy birthday to you. It's a blessing to be on this side of the living. I don't think I received any prayer concerns. However, if you want to stand up or sit down and say your prayer concerns, please feel free to do so. Anyone? Okay. We're going to have a call of prayer. So let our hearts and minds try to meditate, and let's prepare ourselves to engage God through prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, the creator and sustainer of our world, we come to say thank you that we come to you today with burdens, heavenly labored throughout the week, and we're trying to find some rest. Lord, let us rest in you during these next few hours, that we may be reminded that we are like grass and may pass away through this life, but in the next, Lord, we will be with you, worshiping. And we thank you for Jesus, who came to us out of love and mercy, on the behalf of our sins. And through the resurrection, we now have a new life in you. And we also pray for those who have been affected by the hurricane. Lord, send people to them, Lord. I pray they be comforted during these times. And I pray through some miraculous way that they find joy through all what's going on around them. And Lord, let us be a faith. Let us be a people who love one another as you loved us. Let us be united, Lord, through all odds of strife, where it be politically or racially. Lord, let there be healing. Let us be a people that can be an example to the world. And Lord, we don't have anything else to pray. We have that one prayer that you gave us. It's our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, forever, glory, forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now we will worship in our tithes and offering. Your blessings upon this offering. Let it be for the uplifting of the church and for your kingdom and for the world. And may this be a reminder that little that we have on this earth, we give to you for what you've done for us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you would please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the words are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's found on page 75 in the New Testament. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this section of the book of Luke, as I was studying it this past week, I was kind of going through to see what came before this and kind of what was going on with Jesus and the disciples. Now, about the 12th chapter in Luke, he starts recounting some of the teachings of Jesus, some of the parables of Jesus. There's a lot of parables in this section. You have the parable of the rich fool, the sayings of telling his followers not to worry, watchful servants, the unfaithful servant, the barren fig tree, the parable of the mustard seed, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the prodigal son, the rich man and Lazarus, and you get the idea. There's a lot of parables that Jesus uses to teach. Now, interspersed with these parables, Luke tells some of Jesus' miraculous healings. The crippled woman, the man with dropsy, I'm not even sure what that is. But Jesus also, he also in this section laments over Jerusalem, knowing what is to happen there in the near future. All of these parables and sayings are leading up to the moments of Jesus' trial and crucifixion. Jesus is trying to get a message across to his disciples and to others who would hear. You need to learn so much. You need to learn this now, for in the time to come, you will be tested. Now, our passage today is not a parable. It's a story of another one of Jesus' miraculous healings. But none of the other gospel writers include this story in their writings, just Luke. It causes me to think, why did Luke include this story? Why did Luke put this here in the midst of all the parables? Why was it important enough for Luke to include? Well, let's look at the text a little more closely. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, the place where he would be crucified. He's on his way to face his own death. His mood, I imagine, is serious, somber even. I imagine a rather quiet Jesus on this walk, contemplative, maybe keeping to himself. As they enter the village, 10 lepers approach Jesus, keeping their distance, and calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So what does Jesus do? He sees them and he says to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." That's it. No touching, no laying on of hands, no waving to the lepers, no big display of show or words of healing, "Be healed." None of that. He just tells them to go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, we've all probably heard of leprosy. It's a terrible, terrible disease. I looked it up online to make sure I was describing it properly, but it causes nerve damage and muscle weakness that can lead to deformities. It can lead to crippling, blinding, and isolation. The bacteria of the disease attack the nerve endings and they destroy the body's ability to feel pain. Without feeling pain, the people injure themselves. The injuries can become infected, resulting in tissue loss. Fingers and toes may be lost or deformed. repeated injury after injury. In biblical times, there was no cure for leprosy. So what did the people do about people who had this disease? They told them to go away. They didn't want to catch this disease. They shunned them. They said, go out of the town. Go away. Stay away from us. But we don't want to catch what you have. And so they were forced to fend for themselves. They gathered together as a group because of this disease that they had in common. They depended on the kindness of others who might leave a crust of bread or a blanket for them to find along the way. There was no Jew, Samaritan, Gentile, foreigner. None of that status mattered among the lepers. That's all that mattered was that you were a leper. Now, it was the law that the lepers had to keep a distance from everyone else. They were afraid of catching the disease. At the distance that they had to keep, lepers had to speak in loud voices to those who were passing by, hoping someone might hear them, have mercy on them. They might leave something for them to eat. But when this group of lepers saw Jesus, they didn't ask for food. They didn't ask for clothing or a blanket to keep them warm. They knew Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. They just cut right to the point. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, they left. They took off. That's exactly what they did. Rushing, maybe even running to the priests. Now I call that faith. They had faith in Jesus. They weren't even healed yet when they took off for that village. But as they went, they were made clean. They saw miracles happen every day around Jesus. And miracles sometimes do still happen in our current day. I've heard of people with cancer that have gone in for surgery. And when the doctors got in there, the cancer was gone. I've heard of people with terminal cancer given 3 months to live, but they lived years beyond what the doctors thought. That is a miracle. Now, sometimes I think we hear these stories, we hear about these miracles, and we kind of think, well, maybe this happened, or maybe the medication, or maybe, you know, we seem to only really, really genuinely believe if it happens to someone we know or if it happens to us. And the 10 lepers in this story, they saw for themselves. They saw this disease disappear. No more rotting flesh, no more falling limbs. They were made clean. And that was what was on their mind. All they wanted to do was to go to those priests, be declared clean, and go and see their loved ones, mothers, fathers, wives, children, all of those people that they had been kept from for so long, sometimes years. That's what was on their minds. Go to the priest, get clean, and go home. One man, however, turned around. He turned around, and when he realized he had been healed, he went back to thank Jesus, shouting his praises. Can you imagine the joy in his heart? But then Luke, he drops us a bombshell. This man was a Samaritan. You all know what that means, right? Samaritans and Jews hated each other, did not like each other. Now, because the Israelite inhabitants of Samaria had intermarried with foreigners, and they had adopted some of their idolatrous religions. Jews considered Samaritans half-breeds, and they were universally despised by the Jews. The Samaritans embraced a religion that was kind of a mixture of Judaism and idolatry. Samaria became a place of refuge for the outlaws of Judea. The Samaritans willingly received Jewish criminals and refugees from justice. The violators of Jewish laws that had been excommunicated found safety for themselves in Samaria, which greatly increased the hatred that the Jews had for them. The Samaritans also received only the five books of Moses for themselves and didn't accept the works of the prophets. They didn't accept the Jewish traditions. So there was this irreconcilable difference between them. They had no dealings with each other. But you know, in spite of these differences, Jesus preached the gospel of peace to the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans were different. They thought differently and they worshiped differently than the Jews. But this man, he knew the source of his healing. He turned and he gave praise to his God. He gave praise to Jesus. And we all say, yes, yay. That would be us, right? We would go back. We would go back and thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel so good now. Now I'm going to go, right? You know, at work, I always joke about winning the lottery. As I'm leaving, I'll say, good night. I'll see you tomorrow. Unless, of course, I win the lottery. In that case, I'll call y'all from an undisclosed location, right? And then I imagine a tropical island that I'll be on, drinking lemonade out of my little coconut cup and listening to the waves on the beach. I admit that the one thing I don't think about right away is getting on my knees and thanking God for that newfound wealth. Not till later I think of that. I daydream sometimes. I think we all do. If I win the lottery, what will I do? I could start planning, you know, how I'll donate all my millions and all the people that I could help. So sometimes thanking God is not necessarily the first thing we do. I think sometimes we're more like the other nine lepers that kept going. You know, they're eager to get to those priests. They'll enable them to join the lives that they've been forced to leave behind. I know if I had been forced to stay away from my husband, my mother, my father for years, suffering with a disease, I know that's what I'd want to do. I would want to go and see them. But you know, give them some credit, because after all, they were obeying Jesus. Think about it. They heeded the words of their master. They did exactly as he told them. Go and show yourselves to the priests. That's pretty straightforward. They did exactly as they were told. They were obedient. Not only that, can you imagine the tremendous faith that they had to go into the village before they were even healed? Faith and obedience. And those are two qualities that we all would like to have in abundance. And we all have our moments. We're churchgoers, right? We're all here today. We do our best to be obedient, to do what God and Jesus teaches us, wants us to do. We do give thanks to God. We give thanks in our songs, in our prayers, in our gifts, and our sharing of what God has given to us. But being human, we can all still improve in those areas. We can improve in everything, everywhere. Especially now, during these times that we face every day. In our time in this country right now, we have a tremendous opportunity to share our faith and our love through Christ to a nation that is riddled with division. We cannot sit in these pews on Sunday and then go back to our regular lives on Monday, forgetting that we believe in a God that commands us to love one another, a God that commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. God commands it. He doesn't suggest it. He doesn't recommend it. He doesn't say, if you want to, you can love other people. That's cool. God commands us. We are Christians. And our neighbors are every other single human being on this planet. Every man, woman, and child who lives and breathes on this earth is our neighbor and is a child of God, just as worthy of God's love as any of us. The divisions in our country right now are countless. Political parties, racial divides, rich, poor, honest, dishonest, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, atheist, Christianity split into denominations, divisions even in our own dear United Methodist Church. Our nation is silently crying for something that will unite us, something or cause that we can all agree on, some group or cause that we can all get behind. Even those 9 Jews and the 1 Samaritan, they find a common thread that unites them for a time, their disease. We have something so much greater than a disease to unite us. We have the love of God through Christ that was showed to us when he suffered and died on that cross. We as Christians need to be united now more than ever. We need to be able to show the world and ourselves that there is something so much greater than anything we could ever imagine. We have that gift of love that was freely given to us by God. Not only do we need to thank God for that gift every single day, but we need to use that gift. We need to be obedient and share that gift of love with all our brothers and sisters, not just those who look like us, not just those who act like us or think like us, not just our fellow Christians, but to everyone who is a child of God. And understand this, we are all children of God. Jesus did not just heal the Jewish lepers. He healed all 10. Jesus did not come to save only his people, the Jews. He came to save all of us. We need to get it out of our heads and out of our hearts that those people aren't as good as these people, and the people that believe this way are correct. The people that believe that way, no, they're not correct. They're wrong. Sometimes I wish I could just reach into people's hearts and souls. Everybody that calls himself a Christian, and just shine the light of the love of Christ in their darkened hearts. Ignorance, prejudice, hatred, separatist, self-centeredness, and insensitivity. These are the things that darken our hearts. These are the things that keep the love of Christ from truly, truly being in us. I wonder, would Jesus have healed the 10 lepers if they had been silent as he walked by? If they hadn't cried out to them in their misery? I don't know. He had a lot on his mind. But what I do know is that Christ will not hear us if we don't ask. God lets us choose. He lets us choose whether or not to believe him, whether or not to believe his word and obey his commands. And God lets us choose whether we believe the words and the influences of the world in which we live. When the choice to follow Christ is made, how can action not follow? It has to. We are compelled to action. We can no longer just stand by and let the world continue on its current self-destructive path. God lets us choose. I plead with you all today, choose Christ. Choose Jesus. Choose to let the love and power of Christ into your heart and into the very depth of your being. Become the follower of Christ that he would want you to be, and not just another person who claims to be a Christian. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in our closing hymn, Give Thanks. Christ and the love of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.